Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of True Podcast. I'm your host, Rhea.
And I'm Alex.
And this week we have something that's very near and dear to both of our hearts. We are talking about true crime and true crime TV shows.
Right. I mean, we both kind of discovered along the way that we have a mutual interest and mutual, I guess, love. I don't like to call it love because it seems a little bit weird and a little bit morbid, but kind of a love of true crime sort of stuff.
It's definitely like... there's a niche for it, because, like, I've talked to some friends about this and been, like, how I'm so obsessed with true crime shows and, like, podcasts and stuff, and they always look at me like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know, but then I know other people like you or, like, my sister and everyone, and they just get it. They're just like, heck yes, I live for this stuff.
I feel like, you know, it's exactly what you said, like, a niche for it, because, like, you know, it's in the same way of, like, how Halloween is a trend. The Halloween aesthetic is a trend and stuff. Yeah. Like, that's, like, very in for some people.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, it kind of feels like the same thing.
Yeah. So, definitely, if you're into true crime, you're gonna enjoy this episode. If you're not, sorry about it.
Right.
But, okay, so we're gonna do a few different, like, segments here. But we're gonna start it off with how we got into our love for true crime. So, Alex, you wanna go ahead?
Sure. So, it's actually kind of funny, like... One thing about, you know, watching TV together as a family, like, at my house is, you know, we all try to not alienate each other by, like, what we're watching in the sense of, like, you know, my dad doesn't like certain things or my mom doesn't like certain things or I don't like certain things, you know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, like, especially, like, growing up, that was more towards, like, my parents, like, it'd be more so, like, things that they wanted to watch was completely fine because I liked the stuff that they were watching, but it was, like, more, you know, their flavor of things, and my mom is very much not into, like, straight-up, like, shoot-em-up violence sort of stuff.
Okay.
But she does love sleuthing.
Okay.
And, like,
okay.
detective stuff.
Yeah.
So, as a result of that, we watched a lot of, like, crime shows in general and, like, some, like, true crime stuff as well. So we watched a lot of that, you know, in the years of when I wasn't, like, super young, because then it wasn't really, like, appropriate, I don't think, but, like, as we got older, like, we're watching a lot of that stuff. And just because me being, like, who I am, I like to look into things that, like, spark my interest.
Okay.
So, like, as you're living your life, you hear names of, like, serial killers and whatever, and just naturally, like, I dive into the internet and be like, all right, who's this, what they do, all that sort of thing. And that, you know, one page will lead to another page, and then all of a sudden you're, like, knee-deep in all this serial killer stuff.
I can totally relate to that, yes.
So that's, like,
down that rabbit
the
hole.
Bulk for me is really that, actually, is, like, my own independent research.
Okay.
Not as much, like, watching shows, but I still enjoy that stuff just because that's, like, what we watch at home.
Okay, so funny you said how you didn't start watching these shows, like, when you were super young. Because for me, it was actually, like, opposite. So it was really weird, because growing up, like, my mom didn't let me or my sister, like, watch a lot of shows. So, like, we weren't allowed to watch, like, SpongeBob or, like, shows like that, because she thought it was going to make us, like, stupider or something.
Okay.
But, like, we used to always watch, like, Forensic Files. Like, my mom didn't, like, stop us from watching that, which I don't know, like, her reasoning, but, I mean, I'm okay with it because I love it. But my sister was, like, really obsessed with Forensic Files when we were kids. So, like, I would always watch it because she was watching it, and, like, I was always just, you know, I was a younger sibling, so, like, I would just have to do what my older sibling wanted to do.
Right.
And, but it was legitimately interesting to me, and then, like, as I was older, I ended up being a criminology minor in college. So that whole just, like, theme of true crime and, like, how to investigate crimes and just, like, forensics was always, like, an interest for me. And it definitely has... like, spiraled and just kind of snowballed into the state that I'm in now, where it's almost borderline unhealthy, like, how much I watch these shows.
Right.
But, I mean, it doesn't bother me, but, like, when I talk about it, I'm just like, ooh, it doesn't sound great.
Right, and it's something that I'll get into a little bit later as well. Like, really reading about it doesn't bother me as much, because I think you could have a certain amount of detachment.
Okay.
And even, like, watching it in a fictional sense doesn't bother me as much, but when, like... We'll talk about it a little bit later, but when it gets, like, into more detailed stuff, that's when I start getting the heebie-jeebies, which I didn't know that happened to me.
Okay.
About this stuff, but I found that out recently. But
yeah, and that'll be our last segment, like, shows that we can't watch, but we'll get to that.
But anyway, okay. So, like, it came up between us then, our mutual interest in this whole thing, back when Drea had her business at the boba shop, and I was, like, moonlighting there, basically. And Drea is, like, super into watching YouTube stuff. And I was, like, a little bit, but not as much, so, like, it's kind of interesting that I actually caught on to it, but we both start watching BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Yeah, so big plug for them. But I think we, and we both put this in our notes, how we just, like, the main thing about this show is that we love the playful banter that goes between the two hosts, Shane and Ryan.
Right.
I feel like that's what really makes the channel.
Oh, for sure.
But just a quick side note, like, they do a lot of true crime, like, but every other season they switch off between doing true crime and doing supernatural, and I actually probably prefer the supernatural segments, but I also like the true crime, and obviously, since we're talking about true crime. But one quick shout out, there are three horrifying cases of ghosts and demons. If you haven't watched it, guys, oh my gosh, it is the best episode ever.
See, I feel like, you know, this is really indicative of, like, our personalities, because Dre is really more for the supernatural seasons, and I'm really more for the true crime seasons, which, you know, we, I put this, you know, in my part as well, that I feel like we kind of did our supernatural episode on our podcast kind of because of our mutual interest in BuzzFeed Unsolved yeah. Supernatural.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it just makes so much more sense because, like, I feel like out of the two of us, I'm more of, like, the Shane-type personality, and Dre is more of the Ryan-type personality.
Totally.
And that's, like, shows in our taste on which seasons we even prefer.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, so, like, for the true crime seasons, my favorite episode would definitely have to be the one that's called The Bizarre Collar Bomb Bank Robbery. And so, basically, this whole episode is, like, this really odd case where this pizza worker, like, I don't know what he is. He works at a pizza place. He, like, gets a call for an order, and when he goes on delivery, like, he gets found trying to rob a bank with a, like, a bomb collar on his neck. And so it's, like, really bizarre because, like, they're just like, what is this? Like, la la la. And as they were, like, sitting there and trying to figure it out, the bomb, like, exploded. And, like, this guy dies. And so it was, like, really bizarre because it was, like, was he involved with it? Like, how did this happen? Like, was somebody... Because there was, like, explicit, like, steps that he was given and, like, different, like... It was, like, a scavenger hunt, almost, to, like, rob this bank. Really odd. And so, obviously, like, all of their episodes are unsolved mysteries, so they don't really actually know, like, you know, was it an inside job? Was he being, like, manipulated in some way? It was just really odd, and I think that this was my favorite episode. If you guys want to give it a look-see, I would recommend it.
I think that, on that note, my favorite episode from their true crime seasons is The Odd Death of Michelle von Emster. So I don't know if you remember this one. It's pretty early on.
I do remember this one.
In this whole thing. So basically, it's about a woman who's found dead by two surfers in San Diego, and she's, like, face down in water. And it looks as though that she's died in a shark attack because her leg is missing. And it's in, you know, the ocean, whatever. But the details around the case make it suggest that maybe it wasn't a shark at all because, like, there's different, like, weird aspects to, like, the clues, like, that they found, like... She had swallowed sand, like, from the bottom of the ocean, and, like, her leg, like, what was left of her leg. Apparently, like, according to the experts on shark attacks, like, when a shark bites through someone's leg, it's a clean break. Like, someone took a table saw and just, like, sawed it off. But what it was actually was, it was sharpened to a point almost. So that's not something that a shark is able to do. And then also... her neck was broken.
Is this also that episode where, like, they were, like, finding all these things, and then there was that shark that was in captivity, and then he threw up her leg?
No, I don't remember that
episode. Are you sure?
I just listened to it on the way over here.
Okay, so there's another episode where something like that happens, where, like, the shark that's in captivity, like, throws up, like, a body part of someone who had died. But, like, the shark was in captivity, so it's, like, really weird.
That is pretty weird. But no, that's not what happened in this one, because what they were saying, because there was evidence on the body of sharks feeding on it, but it was, like, in a post-mortem sense where, like, some blue sharks, I think they're called, had, like, nibbled on the body afterwards.
Interesting.
But they wouldn't have had the power to, like, take off the woman's leg.
Yeah.
Like, that's apparently, according to the experts that were involved in the case, that's only something a great white could have done, and that kind of, you know... bite that was, you know, there because it sharpened to a point, like, that was impossible for that kind of shark.
Right.
So
Ooh.
Oh yeah, all the experts were like, I don't think that this is a shark attack. And then also like the coroner who like performed like the autopsy and whatever,
yeah,
and said it was a shark attack.
Yeah,
had never seen a body that had been killed by a shark before, ever.
Interesting.
And like he didn't show it to like the experts that he talked to. Like he just went over to like their facility and like looked at like different things. And, like, oh yeah, that's a shark attack. And then like there's like this whole laundry list of suspects that it could have been, like, if it was, like, a murder. Like, there was this one, like, stalker that she had, and, like, she had worked at, like, an office supply, like, place that did, like, copies, and, like, he came in, like, with a copy of her autopsy report and wanted copies of it and stuff. So just, like, it was very interesting, I think.
It's odd, definitely.
It was just, like, how did any of this happen? How did she get sand in her stomach? What happened here?
La la la, yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, like, their whole... channel is really good. I would recommend it to anyone who's interested in true crime or supernatural. They also have a recent series that they released, which is only like 3 episodes long. They haven't really continued with it, but it's called Are You Scared? And it's really good. It's basically where Ryan tells Shane's like these different stories that he finds on Reddit, and some of them are fake, but some of them are also true.
And that's on Watcher, right?
Oh, it is on the Watcher. You're right. Yeah, it's not on their BuzzFeed Unsolved channel. It's on their Watcher channel. So if you're interested in that, head over there.
And it's interesting because I wasn't really that into, like, their Watcher channel. And then, like, hanging out with Georgia is like, oh, watch these things, man. So, like, we watched one. That, for real,
yeah,
had me, so like, scary. Some kind of shook.
Yeah, it's scary.
Like, someone breaking into a guy's house while he's home. And, like, seemed to have the intent of, like, at least killing him.
He was, like, drugged out, too, so it's not good news. But I would recommend listening to it. Head over there. Watcher. This is such a good plug for Shane and Ryan. Okay, so let's move on to some TV shows / YouTube / documentaries that we like.
Right.
Give us your first one, Alex.
So, what we were really into for, like, the longest time was CSI. And it's not like, you know, CSI Miami, where it's, like, super meme-y or whatever. It's, like, the straight CSI that was placed in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And we had watched that for years. Like, it has, like, 12 or 13 seasons or something like that. Mm-hmm. We didn't watch it all the way till the end because at a certain point, which I think we could all agree on, is, like, shows stop being good after a certain amount of seasons.
Okay.
I think, at least.
Okay.
Like, everything just becomes a little bit weaker.
Okay.
But I would say that, really, like, my family stopped watching it after the main character, Grissom, leaves the show.
Mm-hmm. And this is a fictional show, right?
Right.
Okay.
See, this is all fictional stuff that we were watching at that time. And, like, it would be that, like, after school, there would be, like, marathons of it, like, reruns
mm-hmm.
that I'd watch. And then, like, I remember a specific summer when I was in high school where, like, I'd watch it before I go to work at In-N-Out. Which was, like, pretty fun for me. And then at the same time, like, we were watching the new episodes that were going on TV. I think mm-hmm. it was on CBS, actually. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was fun. And recently, I actually started rewatching it. But then I put that on pause just because I feel like that show hasn't particularly aged well.
Okay.
Like, well, it's just not as interesting anymore to me, I guess.
I feel you.
It's still good. But it's interesting. Like, you know how shows, like, nowadays, like, when they take a political stance, like, they take a political stance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stances that the show was, like, taking that I just wasn't noticing, like, as a kid. Like, it was very interesting to see, like, you know, where it was, like, back then on taking a stance versus, like, now. Like, there's one episode that's all about, like, not discriminating against deaf people.
Okay.
And then also, like, for midgets.
Oh, interesting.
And that stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. I liked that show quite a bit. I'm probably not going to finish rewatching it.
I feel you. Yeah, there's some shows that definitely, like, you know, you used to like them, and then when you rewatch it, it's like, oh, not that great. But, yeah, anything else on that one?
On CSI?
Yeah, on CSI.
No, cool.
Okay, so if I had to literally only watch one show, or can only recommend one show to anyone about true crime, it would for sure be Cold Case Files. And the unfortunate thing about this is that I think there's only one season on Netflix. And I don't know if they have other seasons, and Netflix only has one season, but I just know that there's one season.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most upsetting thing to me because this show is gold. It is basically, I don't even remember how many episodes it is, but basically they just, like, cover different cold case files that have been eventually solved, which is, I think, 1% of, like, cold case files get solved ever.
Right.
So it's, like, pretty significant. And there's one episode in particular that really stands out to me. It's, I think, like, episode 3, maybe. And it's basically about, like, this, like, elderly couple who used to own, like, a tree plantation where they would, like, sell, like, Christmas trees and, like, stuff like that, whatever. But they were, like, since, like, retired and, like, the family had, like, taken over. And they were found, like, on this, like, this road that's, like, out in the woods, like, thrown from their, like, dragged away from their cars, like, with bullet shots in their head and, like, dead. Mm-hmm. And so it was, like, what the heck happened? Ultimately, like, it took many, many years. So for all these cases, it takes a lot of years to get solved, because obviously cold cases, they sit on desks for years until, like, different DNA or different, like, evidence technology comes about. But ultimately, they find out that it was this guy, I think it was actually, well, was it brothers or a guy? I forget. But it's this guy who basically knew or used to work for their little tree plantation, and he knew that, like, the family had money. So he, like, broke into their house looking for money and, like, found that, like, they didn't have any there, but then found bank statements saying, like, how much was in their bank. So then when they got home, they he basically, like, held them at gunpoint. It was like, okay, we're gonna drive to your bank. And then they, like, drove to the bank and, like, they called in, like, hey, I'm gonna be withdrawing this amount, have it ready for me. They get there, the teller gives the amount, which is, like, she's already kind of like, this is weird, gives the amount. He gets back in the car, and then, like, the guy with the guns, like, drive, and he, like, tells them to drive out to, like, the middle of nowhere. He shoots them both dead, drags them from the car, la la la. He escapes and is, like, living in Alaska for, like, literally his whole life. Like, he is, like, on the verge of death when he gets finally, like, convicted and found, and this is this, which I feel like is an injustice, because he's lived his whole life free, basically, and he only spent, like, 1 or 2 years until he died, you know, in his jail cell. But it's an extremely interesting episode. 100% I recommend Cold Case Files. It is so good. Have you seen it?
No.
You should. It's on Netflix. Okay, give us your next one.
So, this one also, like, CSI was. Like, it's not, like, in an actual true definition of, like, true crime, just because it's fiction. But, like, anything Law and Order, really, is, like, another sort of thing that we watch, which I feel like is a precursor for my interest in true crime.
Okay.
Like, it's how the gateway drug, if you will, that gets me into it.
Okay.
But, basically, I don't really have a ton to say about it, because I feel like everyone knows about Law & Order, but, like, any time of day, you can find at least one of their Law & Order shows on some TV network somewhere.
Yeah, totally.
It's, like, super easy to find. That's actually, like, the joke around my house right now, like, during the whole quarantine thing is, well, we don't know what to watch right now.
Put on Law & Order.
Yeah, Law & Order should be somewhere, so we'll just have to find it.
That's funny.
But, yeah, my one afterwards, that's the real, like, true crime thing.
Okay, you could go ahead if you want.
Sure. So, alright, guys. I told you about this a little bit, Drea, but Mindhunter. So, this is a Netflix show that I started watching because it was recommended to me by a coworker, because we were talking about, like, sort of true crime stuff and whatever. And here's the thing. I should not have started watching this with my parents, probably, I think. Just because, like, the subject matter is a little bit difficult, I think, to watch with your parents.
Okay.
Just because of a whole bunch of different factors and whatever. But anyway, so it's a little bit weird for me to watch because of that. But then, so the whole idea of Mindhunter is it's about, it's, like, set in the, like, mid to late 70s. And it's about the FBI's behavioral analysis unit, like, really starting to work on classifying what a serial killer was, because, like, that wasn't a part of their thought process back in the day. Like, that's something that had to be developed, is, like, the thought of killers who murder people in sequence and the thoughts they had behind that. Like, why would they do that? What's the, you know, intent and all this stuff? Like, is there a reason why they're behaving in the way that they are? So the whole deal is the main character, like, he's the one who started, like, he had worked before in hostage negotiation, and, like, he had started, like, the whole idea of, like, thinking about, like, why do people who kill in sequence, like, do this sort of thing?
Okay.
Because, like, his work through hostage negotiation, like, he has to think about, he has to get into the head of the person holding people hostage. So, like, it led to this whole point. And basically, like, the show ends up being kind of about, like, his travels with, you know, his coworkers in the FBI, because it's like a very, like, small unit that's doing this, going around to different prisons, talking to what would later be named serial killers, because, like, they weren't called that at the
At
time.
the time, right.
And, you know, it's something that at the time is, like, thought of as a crock, like, you know, you can't understand these people. There's no there's no validity in understanding them and whatever. So, like, these are, they have actors that portray actual serial killers. Like, I just watched an episode the other day with the Son of Sam. And I'll tell you what, like, they do it, like, so well that they even make the actors, like, really look like these people. Like, the actor who plays the Son of Sam in this show, I looked up a photo of the actual guy. They could have been twins. It was insane.
Interesting.
So, like, one of the first serial killer they talk to is Edmund Kemper. So, Ed Kemper. He's the co-ed killer from, I think, you know, he was captured, I guess, in California. In, like,
San Francisco.
around that area. I think somewhere in the middle of California. But anyway,
Okay.
so, co-ed killer. And the way that he, like, talks about, like, why he did things and, like, the way, because it's all, a lot of it's violence against women, so that's a little bit uncomfortable for me. And then the way that he, like, talks about it, like, it makes it feel super real. I mean, because it was real, right?
Right.
So, like, you sitting there as, like, a perfectly sound person, like, is looking at this guy who's playing, you know, this real serial killer and, like, supposedly, like, talking about, like, how he truly felt and whatever. It's hard to sit there and understand how another human being can do such a thing to their fellow man.
Okay.
So that's kind of difficult for me because I never had to approach it in that way before. Because, like, before I'd only really, like, read about it in, like, articles or whatever and not actually, like,
Seen it, like come to life.
yeah, or, like, heard, you know, an actual serial killer talk about it, or, like, how they would talk about it, because obviously these aren't the real people. And then, like, another one who was, like, a really gross one was Jerry Rudos. So he murdered a number of women by, like, basically kidnapping them. Like, he would tell the police later on that they were, like, he had taken pictures of them because they were all aspiring models, which is not true. Like, that was a part of, like, his fetish.
Ew, gross.
And, like, he had, like, a shoe fetish and whatever, and it was just, like, the grossest thing ever. Like, literally, it was so hard to watch.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, like, I have to take that whole thing in doses.
Right.
And then also, I feel like sometimes some of the characters kind of have, like, attitude problems in their own right. Because, like, they're the main guy, like, he's, like, you know, kind of a more rookie FBI agent, not as seasoned, and he's super, like, naive and, like, all this whatever, and then he starts getting, you know, too confident in his ability and has to be knocked down a peg and all this whatever, and then his partner's, like, overly cynical and boo-hoos everything. And then, like, the professor woman that they consult with, who later ends up joining, like, their group, who is just like, I'm smarter than all of you. You know, so just, it was a little bit interesting and difficult to watch.
Yeah, I can
But, I mean,
imagine.
we're still in the middle of it. Like, it has two seasons right now, and we just started the second season.
Okay.
It's interesting, though.
Yeah, definitely. That's, I know you've told me about it, and I've definitely wanted to check it out. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But yeah, okay, so I'm just gonna glance over mine because my list is much more extensive.
Right.
Because and like my list is literally not even covering like all of the true crime
Right.
items that I've watched, because I'm much more of like a documentary type person. So like you saying how it's kind of unsettling for you to watch, like see these people and like see the rationale and say like, you know, the things like that drove them to do things. Like that's more of the stuff that I actually like to watch because I find it so fascinating that like a person can think that way. So, okay, so like really fast. So basically I talked about Forensic Files. They have like basically 9 seasons, I think. I literally watch the show every single morning when I'm getting ready for work. It's problematic in ways, but I love it. It's an old show, but I actually think it stands the test of time. Like kind of how you're saying, like CSI is kind of like iffy, but Forensic Files, I feel like definitely like even today, like if it came out today, I'd be like, yes, I'm invested. There's another show on Netflix that's called The Innocence Files, and I actually haven't finished this series, but it's sensational. The reason I haven't finished it is because it is a little bit challenging to watch, because the whole premise of it is that it's basically like people who have been wrongfully convicted for crimes they haven't done.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's this whole like project and organization that works to, you know, overturn their convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's really sad because, like, you know, a lot of times they're in there for many, many years, and, like, you know, they do get restitution after the fact, but it's like, what can you really put a price on, like, your life and, like, the years that you had to waste in incarceration, you know?
Right, and I feel like at a certain point, like, if you've been convicted for something, it doesn't necessarily matter that it's been, like, overturned. Like, you still carry that conviction around with you.
Yeah, totally. Like, people around you are going to be like, oh, he was, like, convicted for murdering this person, you know? Even though it was false, like, they're still going to think that of you.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, like, it's this whole thing. It's really good. I really highly recommend it. The first, like, 3 episodes are sensational. I think I stopped around episode 5 because it, like, I think in that episode they ended up not being successful in overturning someone's verdict, mm-hmm. which, like, really made me sad. And I think that's why, like, I took a break from it.
Right.
So that was another good one. And then, like I said, I'm really big on documentaries. So, like, just to name a few, like, all the new ones that come out, like, Making a Murderer, which is so sad. A Killer Inside the Mind of Aaron Hernandez. I literally watched that, like, the second it came out and, like, watched. I mean, it's only, like, 3 episodes, I think. Or it's, like, something short. It's, like, a mini series. Super interesting. It's about a professional football player who, like, murdered, like, 2 people. And, like, just how, football and his injuries, like, created these, like, brain injuries that caused him to act right. in certain ways.
Yeah.
Very interesting. 100% recommend it. Super short. You and me actually watched the Conversations with the Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, which was a funny story. We had gone to Knott's Berry Farm and gone on literally like every single ride within an hour. And I was so unbelievably motion sick. We had to leave.
Yeah, we got KO'd by Ghost Rider.
Yeah, like it was over. Like we rode, in my defense, we rode every ride in the park, like every big ride in the park, with the exception of maybe like, no, I think we rode all the big ones.
Yeah, all the big things, because granted, this was like a Tuesday morning in like January or February.
Yeah, so like no
super off season.
Yeah, no one was there. So we did it all in 1 hour, and I'm also prone to get motion sick, and then couple of that with doing that all so fast, I was like, nope, I'm gonna die. So we came home, and like, I was like, you know, on the verge of like, am I going to throw up? Am I going to die? La, la, la. And we thought it was a good idea to watch the Ted Bundy tapes, which we ended up watching all of them in one day. And it was amazing. I thought it was so great. Super interesting. I think we both fell asleep at one point just because we were tired.
For sure did, because I remember waking up and like looking over at you and you were still asleep and I was just like kind of watching. And here's my only like 2 cents, I guess, about the Ted Bundy tapes.
Uh-huh.
It was very interesting,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like the actual elements of it, like, that were the tapes, mm-hmm. were just him going so, like, crazy and so, like, ham and not really, like, making any sense that it didn't, like, add anything for me as far as, like, the why. Like, why did you do it sort of thing?
I think it, like, but I feel like that gives you the why because it's just, like, because he's so unhinged.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But it was really that was a very interesting documentary in the sense of, like, I still think about how, you know, people at the time of his arrest were campaigning for him to be set loose.
Yeah,
because they're literally just like, there is no way that he could have done what you're saying that he did.
Yeah. It was definitely, like, a cult following. And it also, like, goes to show how serious it is, the fact that when they released the whole, like, the Zac Efron version of it, how all these girls were, like, fangirling over this, like, character of Ted Bundy. And it's like Netflix had to release a statement being like, don't lust over this serial killer. Like, literally, there are so many other people and other characters you can lust over. Why are you lusting over Ted Bundy?
Right.
So it just goes to show how serious he was as a serial killer and how much of a cult following he had.
Right.
So definitely a good one. Just 3 more really good documentaries I would like to recommend to you. There's a documentary on Netflix called The Pharmacist, and it is so good. It's basically about this dad who's a pharmacist, and his son dies from a drug overdose, and he starts noticing that other kids in the like area that he lives start getting all these different prescriptions for oxycodone.
Mm.
And like, it was just at a rate that was like outrageous, and he was just like, so many kids are getting it, they're high dosages, what's going on? And so he starts doing his own private investigation as to, like, why is this drug being abused, basically. And he tries to reach out to the local police, tries to reach out to DEA, nothing's happening. He finds out that it's this one woman in particular who literally, he finds out you can basically just go in and pay your way to getting a prescription for oxycodone. And ultimately, he takes down, like, this woman without the help of the DEA, without the help of the local law enforcement. He, like, does all his own private research and, like, does this huge, like, makes a big, like, change in history for, one, the usage of oxycodone and, like, the, like, abuse of the prescription system by, like, doctors. So it's a really good documentary. I think it's only, like, maybe 3-4 episodes long. It's super good. I've also seen the documentary Who Took Johnny. It was on Netflix for a while. I think it might have taken it off. And this is a really important benchmark case because it was the first, like, documented kidnapping that, like, made, that changed the laws for how to handle a kidnapping case. Because at the time, I guess, like, if you reported someone missing, or you couldn't report someone missing unless, like, they had been gone for, like, 72 hours or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Even though, like, this mom knew that he was kidnapped, like, the second he was kidnapped, you know? And it was a big problem because, obviously, like, you're losing 72 hours to try to, like, track someone and all this stuff. So, like, his mom basically became this big advocate for the, like, National Kidnapping Service. And it's just a really interesting situation because she eventually does see her son again, but he was so messed up from, like, what his kidnappers had done to him. And basically he was, like, sex trafficked, that he was like, don't come after me, stop looking for me, stop doing these things, because, like, this is my life now. Really bizarre stuff. Super good. I recommend it. Okay, and this last one I have to, okay, here's the thing.
I remember you talking about this one to me.
I'm going to recommend this documentary to everyone to watch, but it is the most outrageous documentary. Like, it makes me not feel sympathy for the victim. It makes me actually feel anger towards the victim and, like, the family, and I just feel like they asked for it. It's called Abducted in Plain Sight. Watch it. I cannot believe, like, the things that happened in it should not have happened. Like, they 100% were avoidable, but the family just, like, was so stupid.
In what way?
Okay, so for example, the whole thing is that this family has, like, three daughters, and then their neighbor, who they call B, has, like, a particular interest in, like, their youngest daughter, I think. To the point where, like, he'll and he has his own family of his own, like, his own kids and everything. And he'll, like, take the daughter specifically to, like, overnight trips and, like, take her horseback riding and, like, all these things. And the family allows it. That's what I'm saying. And that's just one example. That's just one example. It's just like, okay, if you as a family are allowing these things to happen, this grown man with, like, your, like, 11-year-old daughter.
Right.
You're stupid, you know?
Yeah, that's a little nutty.
Yeah, and that's just, like, literally just one example. And, like, a million other things happen where, like, okay, it's the family's fault. It really is. And I hate to say that because, like, you know, I hate to blame the victim, but in this particular documentary, it is impossible not to blame the victim because they really, like, sowed their own story. So that's something that I recommend to a lot of people. Fight me on it if you disagree with me, but I don't think you will. And let's move on to some shows that we cannot watch.
So since my whole list here is going to be the shortest thing ever, I'll just go first. But okay. I haven't yet found something that I just, like, have not been able to watch, but I'm starting to think that maybe Mindhunters is on that list for me.
Okay.
Just because, like, it's getting me so good. In the sense of, like, it's pulling me into the story so much that, like, I get a little bit freaked out by, like, the serial killers that they depict.
Interesting.
Okay. Mostly Ed Kemper. Okay, he is crazy.
Yeah, definitely the fact that, like, you've been so fixated on him kind of shows that, like, he's doing a number on you.
Yeah, because, well, here's the thing is that, like, a big part of the story is that the main character keeps going back to Ed Kemper for advice. Like, he's just kind of, like, they're kind of like a cohort, like, trying to figure out this whole serial killer thing. Because, like, these serial killers are told, like, when they're being interviewed, like, we're using this, you know, for a study. We're not going to include your name, but, like, we're trying to learn something from this. And Ed Kemper is very interested in helping out in that way.
Okay.
It's, like,
it's unsettling for you.
It's unsettling. And then, like, while this is happening, like, you're seeing, like, parallel action of, like, oh, while, like, they're doing this over here, like, a real killer, the BTK killer, is, like, actively killing people and, like, actively, like, doing stuff. So it's just, like, it's a lot of stress for me. Mostly, like, I feel like if it were normal life right now, I could probably handle it. But since life is just already kind of stressful anyway.
Yeah, I feel that.
I'm feeling more inclined to get stressed out easily.
I could totally get that.
It's just, like, a lot for me. I'd rather just watch something cheerful.
For sure. Yeah, for me, it's, like, definitely different. Like, I feel like serial killers, like, learning about them, learning their motives, like, all those, seeing what they did, like, really doesn't affect me. But here are the things that do affect me. Mm-hmm. So there is a documentary that has recently kind of come out over the summer, and my sister has been, like, not over the summer, I think over the winter break. But my sister's been really pushing me to watch it because my sister is also really into true crime. And the thing is, I can't watch it because I know something happens in it, and I cannot watch things like this. It's Don't F with Cats. Obviously, I'm censoring myself, but that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And I know that it deals with animal abuse.
That's disgusting.
I cannot watch things with that. Like, it will mess me up for days. Like, I won't stop thinking about it. I'll just, like, if I start thinking about it, I'll cry. Like, it's too much. Mm-hmm. So anything with animal abuse, can't do it. If they mention it, fine. If I see it, can't do it. Another one that isn't so much a nonfiction, but it's still based off of true events, is Chernobyl.
Now, are you talking about the HBO series?
Yeah.
Okay, I watched that one. I was actually pretty interested in it.
I know, yeah. Everyone's been recommending it to me. Like, I hear it's really great, but it's just so horrific that, like, I can't bring myself to watch it. And I know that there's a scene with a dog, and that's all I know, and I'm just like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about it.
I'm here to tell you right now, 100%, thank goodness, like, trigger warning somewhere, someone told me this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I fast-forwarded through that.
Yeah, somebody told me it was something with the dog. I don't even know what happens. But I'm like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me what happens.
Drea, it's awful.
Don't tell me what happens. Don't tell me what happens. Like, I'm being serious. Do not tell me what happens, because that really messes me up. And because of that, I'm like, I'm too scared to watch it, even though I heard it's a really fantastic show.
And I kind of, because I know I did research into it, like, back when it first came out and whatever, because I was watching it when I was at work at Fox, actually. Yeah. And it is so incredibly frustrating
mm-hmm.
to watch it on this side of history, mm-hmm. like, when you know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because, basically, the government was trying to keep it under wraps.
Right.
Like, the entire time, just like, no, this isn't happening, you know, while it's happening, basically. Yeah. It didn't have to be the way that it was.
Yeah, totally.
So if that's true, it's, like, incredibly, incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, it's horrific. That's a show I can't watch. And lastly, the other show that, like, I've been wanting to watch, but I haven't been able to, just because I'm scared, is on Netflix. It is The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez. And I know about this case, and mm-hmm. that's why I haven't watched it. And basically, it's about this little boy who his parents basically abused him to the point where they ended up killing him.
Mm.
And it's just so sad, and I can't bring myself to watch it, even though it is a case that interests me very, very much. But it's just, I can't, you know, like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Anything with kids, it's like, ugh, I see that.
It's particularly unholy when it's kids.
Yeah, like, if it's like, because Forensic Files has a few episodes where, like, you know, it's like a kid got murdered or something, but, like, they don't, it's, you know, Forensic Files is like a 30-minute episode, and they show, like, the beginning, like, oh, this person was found dead here, blah, 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 and that's all, and they move on to, like, finding the killer. But, like, this whole documentary is basically, like, the story of the kid and what happened and how it led to the point and, like, the trial of it. I'm just like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that in depth to it.
Right.
So, those three are the ones I can't watch. Other than that, I can fall asleep to watching true crime stuff, which I know is unsettling to a lot of people, but I'm just like, it's so interesting to me. I can do it. But yeah, anything else you want to say about it, Alex?
I mean, it kind of seems like, you know, if you're really, like, boiling it down, we kind of get the heebie-jeebies over similar things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that, to a certain point, the reality of certain acts is just a little bit too much
mm-hmm.
for us. Mm-hmm. But the acts might just be different and, like, to what level it's, you know, being shown and talked about.
Yeah, totally.
But it kind of sounds like we get, you know, skeeved out over similar things.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Definitely, it's like we said, it's a niche to like these types of things. But if you do, it's an obsession.
Yeah, for real. I, like, spent, like, one night after watching a certain, like, episode of Mindhunter,
mm-hmm.
I, just, like, was, not that Wikipedia is, like, such a great, like, source to use, because it's definitely not.
Right.
But, like, I was on Wikipedia, and I was looking up one of the serial killers that they were talking to, and that led me to, like, they have a list of all the confirmed serial killers mm-hmm. in the United States and then all the unconfirmed ones. So I was mm-hmm. like going through that list and it's an interesting read for yeah. sure.
Yeah, I can totally see that. But anyway, yeah, so I hope you guys thought that was interesting. If you guys like true crime, I'm sure this probably was something of interest to you, and I hope you guys do check out some of the shows and YouTube channels that we suggested. But if you guys like this, maybe we'll do another episode in the future where we go over some, like, certain cases. Maybe we won't. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But thanks for tuning in, y'all, and we will see you next week.